The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he had looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he is the mighty who has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home.
Well, do keep your Bibles or your phones open to that passage if you do have that open in front of you. Let's commit our time to the Lord now in prayer. Father God, as we open your word together, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts that we might see Jesus for who he truly is, your promised forever eternal King. And Lord, in recognizing who he is, we pray that we would rejoice in what you have done for us. So, Father, be with us now as we look at your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to get us off to a slightly different start to usual this morning. So please do just humor me. I want you to stand up if you've had to change at least one plan this year in 2020. If you had to change one plan, I want you to stand up. At least one plan. Anybody who's changed one plan or more, stand up. If you're at home online, this doesn't get you out of it. Stand up if you're able to. If you've had to change plans because of something that's happened in 2020, I want you to stand up. Now, if you think you've had to change five or more significant plans, five or less significant plans, then I want you to take a seat. Huh. What about if you've done 10 or less significant plans you've had to change this year? Then take a seat. Okay. What if you've basically just lost count of how many plans you've had to change this year? If that's you, then just do take a seat. Hopefully by this point, everybody should have got their seat sat back down. Well done. Thanks for taking part. Do you realize that for most people in this building this morning, that'll be the first time you've stood up in the middle of a church service since about March? Anyway, that's just incidental. It's fair to say that 2020 has been a year of ever-changing plans. Now, there's a danger that I've just set you off thinking about all those wonderful things that you missed out on in 2020. And that rather than listening to the rest of what is going to be said this morning, you're just going to sit there thinking about those plans that never came to fruition. But instead of thinking about all our plans that have had to change this year, I want you to come with me to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, where we find a virgin whose name was Mary. Come with me as we see how her plans were changed and how she responded to those changes. Because let's face it, whatever plans we've had this year, whatever changes we've had to make, however big they might have been, they're nothing compared to the changes that were about to take place in Mary's life. And this morning we're going to take up this theme of God's plan for Mary. And we're going to look at this passage in three scenes. Scene one, God's plan humbly accepted by Mary. Scene two, God's plan graciously confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And then in scene three, we are going to see that Mary joyfully celebrates God's plan. God's plan joyfully celebrated by Mary. So scene one, God's plan humbly accepted by Mary. Look with me at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Right at the very start of this passage, we see that what is going to happen is initiated by God. God sent his messenger to deliver his message. This is God's plan. Now, further evidence of this being part of God's wider, bigger plan is this little detail about Joseph. Do you notice it? Joseph is of the house of David. Now, back in the Old Testament, God had made some pretty big promises to David. He had promised him a forever throne. So when we hear that God is sending a messenger to a virgin who's engaged to a man who is a descendant of David, well, we should sit up. We should pay attention. And after the initial shock of the angel's appearance, we find out what the message was that he had for Mary. Look with me at verse 30. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now that is a change of plans, right? Just think about this. Here we've got Mary, this girl engaged to be married to Joseph, a carpenter. They lived in an insignificant city in Galilee. Now, before the angel's arrival, she was probably quite excited about the upcoming wedding. maybe looking forward to settling down with her husband and the security that that would have brought in those days. But generally speaking, expecting a relatively simple existence. And the next thing she knows, she's going to have a son, Jesus, who, get this, verse 32, will be called the Son of the Most High. She's going to be the mother of God's own son. But that's not all, because her son will be given the throne of David. Her son will be a king, but not just any king. He is going to be God's promised forever, eternal king. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. This is truly mind-blowing stuff. Can you even begin to imagine how Mary must have felt at this news? Mary's head must have been absolutely spinning. There must have been 1,000 questions running around her head. But she asks just one. She has the presence of mind to ask just one. Look with me at verse 34. How will this be, since I'm a virgin? In the midst of all that's going on, Mary has just one question. How's it going to happen? You see, she obviously has a basic grasp of the biology. And she certainly knows that babies aren't delivered by storks. And without any doubting of her motivation for the question, the angel responds to her with these words: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The conception of Jesus will be truly miraculous. Nothing like it had ever happened before, and nothing like it will ever happen again. And the angel then tells Mary that her relative Elizabeth, who had not previously been able to have children, was 6 months pregnant. And we'll find out a bit more about that in a few moments. The key aspect of this first scene is that Mary's response to God's plan for her. Look with me at verse 38. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In the face of this truly life-altering plan, Mary humbly accepts. God's plan is humbly accepted by Mary, a truly remarkable response to a truly remarkable plan. Mary is willing to be the servant of the Lord. She accepts her part in his great plan. At the very heart of Mary's response is humble acceptance. Maybe her response was a bit like those soldiers who willingly signed up in the Great War. You see, back in August 1914, Lord Kitchener, the Secretary of State of War, realized Britain needed a bigger army. He made a direct appeal to the men of Britain. Posters were displayed showing him pointing his finger at anyone passing by. And in the first weekend of the war, 100 men an hour were signing up. 3,000 a day signed up to join the armed forces. These men were willing to serve the cause. They responded to the call. Much like Mary does here, she humbly accepts God's plan. You see, within the whole of human history, God's plan for Mary was unique. And yet, her response need not be. So the question I want to put to you this morning is, will you humbly accept God's plan for your life? What plan, you might ask? Well, simply put this: to acknowledge that Jesus is God's promised forever king. To humbly accept his right to rule over your life. You see, God's plan for your life is not that you simply acknowledge in an intellectual way that Jesus is king, but that you come under his reign, that you come under his rule, that we come under the rule of Jesus, our humble king. What does it mean in practice? Well, first off, it means that we take off our own crown. We stop thinking and fooling ourselves that we're in charge, and we recognize that Jesus, God's son, he's in charge. And we go his way. Instead of forging our own way in life, we fall in line with God's way of life. Now, if we want to know what that looks like in the nitty-gritty detail, we need look no further than Jesus' life, which we can find out all about in Luke's gospel. You see, Jesus shows us the way that we are to live. When we look to his life, we are given the perfect example to follow. It's an example of humility, of love. Have you humbly accepted God's plan for your life? Are you living with Jesus as king over your existence? If that's not you this morning, will you humbly accept God's plan for your life? Now, our response is only part of the story, and we'll come back to that a little later. But scene one is God's plan humbly accepted by Mary. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Mary, after the angel had left, I would be pinching myself, wondering if maybe it had all been just a bit of a surreal dream. In fact, knowing me, I think what I probably would have done is had a bit of a nap and hoped that when I woke up, I'd come to my senses. But anyway, the great thing is that the angel's message basically contained within it a way of confirming that everything that was said to her was true. You see, back in verse 36, the angel told Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant. So if Mary goes and finds that Elizabeth is pregnant, she can be reassured that everything that has been said was true. Now, the really interesting thing is that the confirmation doesn't come just from Elizabeth's pregnancy, but from her Holy Spirit-inspired declaration of who Jesus is. Scene two, God's plan graciously confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 39 to 45. Look down with me at verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary's arrival at Elizabeth and Zechariah's house causes quite the stir. The very presence of Mary causes Elizabeth to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why does the Holy Spirit fill Elizabeth? Well, it's not just for her personal benefit. Rather, it is to empower her to witness, which is exactly what she goes on to do. You see, the words that we're about to read are not the words of an exuberant relative. They are the words of a Spirit-filled woman. Elizabeth's insight comes from God himself. So let's take a look at that. Verse 42. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth declares that both Mary and the baby that she is to bear are blessed. This echoes the message from the angel when he called Mary favored by God. The blessing here is a statement of fact. Mary is blessed. The baby is blessed. But what does it mean? It means that they are favored by God. Isn't that an amazing position to be in, to be favored by God? To be favored by the God of all creation, the one who brought all things into being. Now, the thing is, there's no indication that Mary had done anything to find favor with God, but rather God in his grace, in his undeserved kindness, had chosen Mary to be the mother of his son. And look at how Elizabeth, the wife of a priest, one of the religious elites of the day, identifies Jesus. Verse 43, and why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? You know, this isn't something we would expect to hear anybody saying about a baby, least of all the wife of a priest. So we can only attribute this declaration to the Holy Spirit who had filled her. He had opened her eyes to the reality of who Jesus was. The baby to be born really was the Lord. It is only with eyes opened by the Holy Spirit that we can rightly recognize who Jesus is. Well, back to Elizabeth. I'm not sure I can stress how utterly outrageous what she said would have sounded to a first century Jew. Do you know what? I dare say that if she had said this out in public, she probably would have been stoned for blasphemy. But empowered by the Holy Spirit, she correctly identifies who Jesus is. And in so doing, God's plan is graciously confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Now, what happened to Mary and Elizabeth is quite clearly unique in all of human history. But maybe in some small way, it's a bit like this. Now, you're going to have to stretch your imagination quite some on this one. I wonder if you guys have ordered anything online for Christmas this year. One of the things I've noticed in recent months is that big car manufacturers have started advertising online. You can kind of pick your specs, order the car, and they deliver it to the door. One of the companies that's doing that is Mercedes. I've seen a few of their adverts. Now, suppose for a moment that you place an order online, the Mercedes of your dreams. And when the order comes through, confirmation comes through, it says something like this: thanks for placing your order online. We know that some people still find this online purchasing stuff a bit nerve-wracking. So in order to ease your concerns, here is a list of happy customers who are more than happy to meet with you and discuss their online purchasing experience. And you take a look down the list and you go, ah, there's an aunt or an uncle or a cousin on the list. And you think, well, I'll pop by and see how it went for them. So you pull up to the house and you see the sparkling Merc in the driveway. So far, so good, right? You ring the doorbell and you take your two steps back to observe social distancing. Your aunt comes to the door. And as you're about to start talking to her, she says to you, I've got a special visitor who's here just to see you. And in the doorway stands Ola Kalanias, the head of Mercedes-Benz Worldwide. And he says, Mr. Delacour, we have received your order, and I'm paying special attention to it. I can assure you that that car will arrive on the 24th of December, just as promised. At this point, you're going to feel pretty reassured, aren't you? Well, can you imagine how Mary must have felt when she heard Elizabeth speaking the words that came from the Holy Spirit, declaring her son to be the Lord? God's plan is graciously confirmed by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's right this morning that we recognize how blessed Mary was to be chosen by God. It is right that we are reassured of our understanding of who Jesus is based on Elizabeth's Holy Spirit-inspired declaration. But I want to take it one step further this morning because, you see, in as much as the Holy Spirit confirmed God's plan to Mary, he also confirms God's plan for us. Writing to the Ephesians, Paul writes this in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Let me read it to you. In him, Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, that's believed in Jesus, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You see, when we believe in Jesus, when we recognize him as the rightful king and ruler of our lives, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that had filled Elizabeth. We've already seen how Mary is blessed and how the baby she would bear is blessed. But get this, early in Ephesians chapter 1, it also says that we share in the blessings of the baby born to Mary. We share in the blessings of our humble king. We share in all of God's blessings to Jesus. In him, we receive every spiritual blessing. Now, just before we move on, I want to note that in the same way that the Holy Spirit opened Elizabeth's eyes to the truth of who Jesus was and empowered her to bear witness, so too, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and empowers us to bear witness to Jesus. When the Holy Spirit enters our lives, he begins to transform us from within. When people see how God is working in our lives and changing our lives, it brings praise to God. To use the words of Paul, to the praise of his glory. You see, God, by his Spirit, is at work in us to bring praise to him. Isn't God amazing? Isn't what he's doing amazing? Well, Mary certainly thought that, and we'll see that just in a moment. So God's plan is graciously confirmed by the Holy Spirit. God's plan was humbly accepted by Mary. And now finally to scene three, God's plan joyfully celebrated by Mary. In response to the gracious confirmation by the Holy Spirit, Mary turns to God in praise. What is widely regarded as a song, it's called the Magnificat. Read with me the first section, verse 46. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. In this opening section, Mary recognizes what God has done for her. He has looked. He who is mighty has done great things for me. You see, earlier on I mentioned that our response is only part of the story. Here I want to pick up on that thread because, you see, before we get an overdeveloped sense of how important our response to God is, we need to first realize all of what God has done for us. Our response to him is based on everything that he has already done for us. The Holy Spirit works in us to open our eyes, to see and to recognize and to honor Jesus as King. That is God at work in us. You see, Mary gets that God graciously chose her. She knows it's all her doing. It's not her, it's God. Her response is to joyfully celebrate God's plan for her. And that should be our response to God's plan too, because it's all of God. God calls us, God draws us to himself. And it should lead us to burst out in praise, acknowledging all that he has done for us. Sadly, at the moment, we can't actually burst out in song, at least not in this room here this morning. Hasn't that been one of the great frustrations of 2020? That we can't get together and sing praises to God? I think listening to the songs is great. It's the best we can do at the moment, isn't it? But it can be great when we can sing together again, isn't it? It can be so great. We can praise God. But in the meantime, we'll have to make do with settling with praising God in our hearts. Praising God for all that he has done for us. Now, I say we. The question should just be, who's we? Who can sing the praises of God for what God has done for them? Well, look with me at verse 50. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. It's anyone who fears God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, don't let the word fear put you off, because consistently in the Bible, those who fear God have an attitude of reverent, humble obedience that seeks to please him, which is how it's being used here, which links back to what we were looking at earlier, how Jesus, God's promised forever king, has the right to rule and reign over our lives. To fear God is to recognize Jesus as king of all creation, which includes you and includes me, and to come under his rule. You see, if we have humbly accepted God's plan for our lives, then we can join Mary in joyfully celebrating his plan for us. And if we haven't yet, we still can. We can come and join the joyful celebration by humbly accepting Jesus as our King. Maybe you haven't done that yet. Do it today. Accept Jesus as King and joyfully celebrate what he's doing. Now, as we move into the closing verse of this passage, we see that God deals with humanity in a very different way to what we might expect. Everything's turned somewhat upside down. I think it's true to say that normally we expect that those who are powerful, those who are rich, those are the ones who are favored in this life. But that's not God's way. Look with me at verse 51 onwards. And he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones. He exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. God brings down the proud, the rich, the mighty. And God lifts up the humble and the hungry. God doesn't go about doing things the way that we naturally would. Now, throughout the book of Luke, we see the theme of the wealthy being brought low and the poor being exalted, developed. And actually, Luke quite often draws a correlation between those who are physically wealthy and poor and spiritually wealthy and poor. Now, we don't have the time to develop that theme this morning, but it is worth taking a look at. But one thing we can say is that God's plan for us is the same, if we're rich or if we're poor. If we're going through a time of great blessing in terms of materially, or actually a really lean time, God's plan for us is the same, that we humbly accept Jesus as our King. Mary's song is not one that can be sung by the proud, but only by those who fear God and who've humbly accepted Jesus as King. It's a bit like this. Next slide, please, Amy, English wife of mine. It's a bit like this. At the end of a rugby match, it is only the fans of the winning side who can sing praises for their team in joyful celebration. And in the same way, we can only join with Mary in joyfully celebrating God's plan for our lives if we fear God, if we've humbly accepted Jesus, his humble King. God's plan joyfully celebrated by Mary. 2020 has been a year where plans have changed. Now, I know in the midst of it, there have been moments of joy, but there's been plenty of tears along the way. My hope is that this morning, as we've seen God's plan humbly accepted by Mary, as we've seen God's plan graciously confirmed by the Holy Spirit, as we've seen God's plan celebrated by Mary, it is my hope that we would humbly accept God's plan for us, that the Holy Spirit would graciously confirm in us God's plan, and that we would join in joyfully celebrating God's plan for our lives. You see, nothing that has happened in 2020 can take away from what God has done, is doing, and will do into all eternity for us. That, dear friend, should give us great joy despite our current circumstances. Let's join with Mary in singing the praises of God. My soul magnifies the Lord, rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that by your grace, you would open the eyes of our hearts by your Spirit to recognize Jesus. Lord, would we bow the knee and worship him as our King? Lord, where we have failed to live with Jesus as King, we confess our sins. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Lord, this Christmas we pray that despite all the difficulties with restrictions and things like that, where we can't do things the way we normally do, we pray, Lord, that we would not let that extinguish the light of the life of Christ, who is our hope, who is our joy, who is our peace. We pray, Father, that this Christmas we might join in joyful celebration as we remember all that you have done for us through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen.